So welcome back to our Daily Commute, which is a little podcast that is supposed to replace the time that you would have been stuck in traffic right now going to work with something that is perhaps spiritually enriching. We look at a thought from scripture or the life of a saint or sometimes both. But today I want to do something different. I want to look at movies. So the whole idea of the podcast is to replace the time that you would have spent with in traffic with something that is spiritually enriching instead of just mindlessly watching another Netflix or Showmax or DSTV episode. But I'm being a bit of a hypocrite when I say that, because I'm going to refer you back to the movies in a bit. You see, because I think that there is so much spiritual richness in movies. Now, you might say that I'm going to, or think that I'm going to refer you to some of the more evangelical movies like Faith Like Potatoes or Facing the Giants or Faith Like Facing Giant Potatoes, but I'm not, because I'm not a big fan of them for a number of reasons. One, they are aesthetically not very good. And two, they preach. They tell you exactly what you need to believe, and that is not good storytelling. But I'm not just discriminating against Christian movies, I'm discriminating against movies like The Shape of Water that won an Oscar 2 years ago, because it's just so preachy. It tells you exactly what you need to believe, and it's just so boring. And those guys are bigger preachers than these evangelical movies. Likewise, most art at the moment is just so preachy. It tells you exactly what is wrong with the world. It tells you exactly how you're going to fix it. And it's just not good storytelling. It's not good art. But that is a tangent for a different day, because I want to refer you to some of the good movies that I find spiritually super, super enriching. And sometimes watching a good movie that engages the imagination and the soul is better than listening to a sermon. And it's definitely been the case in my life. So that is why I refer you to these movies with so much freedom. Now, let's get cracking on my little list. It's definitely not exhaustive. I will be interested to know what movies you found to be spiritually enriching. So maybe just drop us a note at one of our various platforms. We also do movie nights at the Alouach back in the old dispensation when people could meet and watch movies. So movies are very special to the spirituality of dialogue, as a matter of fact. Now, getting cracking. Amazing Grace is the first movie that I would refer to. Now, Amazing Grace is borderline whether this is a Christian movie or not, although Benedict Cumberbatch plays in it, and I think a few other more mainstream actors and actresses. But it's a story, or it's a movie based on the life of William Wilberforce, which any movie that is based on the life of William Wilberforce is a good movie. And if you don't know the story of William Wilberforce, then shame on you. Go and watch this movie or read an autobiography. There are quite a few of him. And it's basically the story of the guy who abolished slavery in England in, I think it was the 1700s, and how his Christian conviction played a massive part in that. How his life got entangled with that of John Newton, the guy who went from slave trader to pastor. And he also wrote the hymn Amazing Grace, and that's where we get the title of this movie from, Amazing Grace. So go watch that movie only if it is because you need to know a little bit more about how a life can be changed by Christ, and it is the real story of William Wilberforce. And I can always recommend anything that is about his life. Going into something that is more fictional is a book by Victor Hugo and many movie adaptations called Les Miserables. Now, I'm not French speaking, but apparently that's the pronunciation. If you're not very highbrow and very Afrikaans, then you're going to say Les Miserables, but apparently that is grossly incorrect. So Les Miserables is just this beautiful rendition of the gospel. And a movie that is quite accessible is the 1998 movie where Liam Neeson plays the lead of Jean Valjean. Geoffrey Rush is also in there. And it's less singing. It can be a little bit annoying to just try and follow the music, especially if you're not into music. And it's also a little bit weird to to see Russell Crowe and Hugh Jackman, in other words, Wolverine and Gladiator, sing songs to each other. It just doesn't make sense. So if that puts you off, go and watch the 98 movie, Les Miserables with Liam Neeson. Just basically, I want to give you, I don't think I'm giving away the plot, maybe I am, maybe I'm not, but here's the thing. You've got this guy, Jean Valjean. He is a criminal, he gets out of jail, and the priest takes him in for the night. And that night, he sees this as a great opportunity to take money, or at least stuff from the priest's house, cutlery, silverware, etc., and go away, and maybe that'll set him up for a while. But the priest wakes up and he's confronted with the priest in the middle of the night, and Jean Valjean does what the criminal does, and that is hit him over the head with a candlestick, and he runs off. Next day he's caught by the police, and he claims that these silverware were a gift from the priest. And the police obviously doesn't believe it, so they take him to the priest and say, "This guy's such an idiot, he thinks that you gave this to him." And then the priest says, "He did, I did give all of this to him. This was a gift, he was my guest, release him immediately." And the police cannot understand. The priest, I think it's his wife or maybe just his nun, I don't know, cannot believe what's going on. And the guy who's most surprised is Jean Valjean. He doesn't have a clue what's going on. And then he even says as much, "I don't understand." And then the priest says these immortal words, "Jean Valjean, I give you back to God." And the rest of the story is Jean Valjean being in the grip of this grace, this tremendous grace that was bestowed on him in his early years. He could have gone to jail for the rest of his life, except he's set up for the rest of his life. So he can take all of the silverware that's very valuable, and he doesn't have to go back to jail. And even though people are trying to hurt him for the rest of his life, he doesn't respond with the same in the same kind of spirit, because he realizes that he will forever be indebted to this great thing that happened to him early on. So, Les Miserables, go and watch it. If you don't like music, watch the 98 version. Moving on swiftly, we have to look at Lord of the Rings, which is the greatest book ever written. And even the movies, man, if I'm perfectly honest with myself, it's up there as my favorite movies. Me and my wife watch the trilogy every year over December, and it's just so much fun. Now, how should you watch Lord of the Rings? Because many of you've watched it. How should you watch it? You have to look out for the Christ figures. Tolkien, this book is just so full of Tolkien's Catholicism, it's not even funny. So you have to look at Tolkien's Christ figures in it. And you've got Frodo, the suffering servant. How is he a Christ figure? Well, when Jesus talks about you have to become like a child to enter the kingdom of God, it's interesting that all of these other figures, all of these great, awesome species, I can't even say men, are corrupted by power the whole time, whether you're a dwarf, even an elf to a certain extent, whether you are a man, especially if you're a man. But it's interesting that these little childlike creatures with hairy feet, they are uncorrupted by power, and at least significantly less uncorrupted by power than the others. And that is why they can be, or Frodo can be a ring bearer, because they are innocent. And man, that is a big part of the gospel right there. If you wanted to enter the kingdom of God, you need to become like one of these being a hobbit. Now, he's not the only Christ figure, because you've got Aragorn. Aragorn is the returning king. He is this guy wandering in the wilderness, almost this John the Baptist kind of figure. But yet, this guy who doesn't look like much, not much in appearance, he is actually the rightful heir to the throne. And when he returns as the king, everything will be restored. So you've got a bit of a vision of what the future is supposed to look like when Jesus comes back. But when we see him at first, we do not recognize him as a king. Think of Isaiah 53. But he is the rightful heir to the throne. So Aragorn, the return of the king. And then probably my favorite character in all of fiction is Gandalf, the resurrecting lord, the resurrected lord, when he dies for his friends, but alas, he is resurrected from the dead. Death did not keep him there, and he comes back not as Gandalf the Grey, but as Gandalf the White. So he is the resurrected Lord. And man, when I look at Gandalf, I sometimes cry. It's stupid, but it's just because I see that guy and he's so well played by in somebody, because he is Jesus, I tell you. When I think of Jesus, and for better or worse, Gandalf is a massive part of my imagination. Why? Because there is this kindness and tenderness in Gandalf. You just want to sit at his feet and listen to his stories, and you feel safe when Gandalf is around. But he's not your playmate. He might just hit you over the head with a stick. If you do something stupid, he will call you fool, so many times. That is his favorite word. You fool, run, you fools. And that captures Jesus, or at least the Jesus that I encounter in the Gospels, so well, because he can be very harsh, but there's something so tender about him. And that is why when I see Gandalf, man, I think I see a big part of who Jesus is. So watch Lord of the Rings and look out for the three Christ figures: for Gandalf, the resurrected Lord; for Frodo, the suffering servant, but also the Christ likeness of being a child and entering the kingdom that way, and Aragorn, the returning king. And this was very much front center of Tolkien's life as his Catholicism entered this masterpiece of the Lord of the Rings. Also, just look at how power corrupts us. What happens when we focus on things the same way that Sméagol focuses on that ring? That's Adam and Eve just sitting around that tree, focusing on those apples. It's so absurd that we are always grasping for power, because that's effectively what happened in the tree. You can be like God. If you have this ring of power, you can be like God. So, man, that is just the gospel. Go watch Lord of the Rings and then watch it again and then watch it again. Now, the next one on my list will sound a little bit silly, but hear me out. Guardians of the Galaxy. Man, that is one of the funnest movies that you will ever watch. Chris Pratt is so good. Those characters are great. But you might think that there's nothing spiritual in it. But I actually watched it with a bunch of my friends from Timbisa way back when we took them as a reward for doing the tutoring throughout the year. We took them to the coast, and I think there's a lot there actually. On the one hand, I see it as a little bit a symbol of the church, that spaceship. Now, how can a raccoon, pompous guy, a green lady, and a piece of wood and a blue guy, how can that be a symbol for the church? Well, when I look at the disciples that Jesus chose, he chose these weirdos. He chose the zealot in the form of Simon, who likes to kill everything associated with Rome, and he chooses Matthew, the tax collector, who made money for Rome and for himself. And he puts them in this weird kind of band. You've got Peter, who cannot shut his mouth, never thinks. He just runs into stuff. And then you have John and James, probably hungry for power, hungry for status. They just want to be recognized. You have Thomas. You have Thomas, who's a bit of a cynic the whole time, just complaining. Just an interesting dynamic within the team. Now, if you look at the Guardians of the Galaxy, these guys are constantly fighting, but they are saving the galaxy. Likewise, the church is a bunch of misfits coming together, worshipping Christ, trying to save the world with the kingdom of God. But we are constantly fighting. We've got nothing in common. We're green. We are, what's the other color? Blue, raccoon, a piece of wood, and pompous and whatever. And when I think of South Africa and the church and what the church looks like in this country, it's usually very weird. Zulus, Afrikaners, English, Xhosas, all with our different stupid things that we bring to the table. But somehow God can use that in this amazing mission. But that's not all. That's not all. It's not just a symbol for the church. I think it's more than that. You have the very famous death and resurrection scene in the end, where I am Groot, the tree, is the guy who covers them all when this spaceship comes crashing down, and he extends himself and he forms this little huddle, and the raccoon guy is very upset because he realizes that his friend is going to die, and then he sacrifices himself for his friends, because love knows nothing bigger than this, and this is to die for your friends, even to die for your enemies. And we think that's the end of Groot, but then we see Groot is a little plant, and there's a resurrection scene in there as well. So I think Guardians of the Galaxy is spiritual. Believe me, go and watch it again and look for those things. Let me try and wrap this up with two or three other movies. I'm a little bit over it now, but I still think that there's so much in some of these superhero movies. So if you watch the Dark Knight trilogy of Christopher Nolan, and you look at how a hero sees everything that is corrupt and then takes everything onto himself, and everything onto himself means that he draws all kind of evil to him, and even the people that he is about to save, Gotham City, they are the ones who end up turning against him. So in the same way that the same people who shouted Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna are the guys who a few days later shout crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. And that is what happens with almost every superhero. He begins being popular, but then people turn on him, and then he dies for these people who turn on him. And then there's a resurrection moment again. And you can see this in Dark Knight Returns. I think the Dark Knight Returns. You can just watch the whole trilogy and you will see these moments. But you don't even have to just stick with Batman. You can watch most of the superhero movies, and you will see this. Probably the place where it's most evident is in Man of Steel. I think it was 2015 or 2014 movie. This is before the new Justice League nonsense that really ruined the franchise. But in 2015, I think that's a very good rendition of Superman. And it's just so obvious. So in the movie, he's 33 years old. In the movie, he is discovered by Martha and John, maybe Joseph and Mary, and they take his little spaceship and put it in a stable because that is where he is born. And I mean, the parallels are just stupidly obvious. And he's got these powers, but he must always resist using it. And you've got this scene where he wrestles with Zod and whether he should give himself over to the authorities. And he goes into a chapel where he does that. And in the background, you've got Jesus in Gethsemane. And then eventually he rises up in the form of a cross to save the world. So, I mean, it is so obvious. And for me, it meant something. Maybe it won't for you. But I still think that him being a Christ figure is quite special. Two other movies that's a little bit more sophisticated than Guardians of the Galaxy and Man of Steel, I guess. Or the Dark Knight trilogy. Two more movies. The one being Calvary. Calvary is a movie based in Ireland, and played the lead character is I think Brendan Gleeson, an Irish actor, and it is well made. It's a bit of a dark comedy, but it tells you so much about forgiveness that I think it's really worth watching. It's probably the best spiritual movie that I've saw in the past 10 years, and it's not for everyone, but here's the plot. You've got a guy, a priest, and he takes confession, and the guy tells him, in 7 days I'm going to kill you. And he thinks maybe this is just a rude joke, but he just goes on with his business, trying to serve this little Irish community. But we, the viewer, soon realize that these people do not take him seriously anymore. The church has lost its place in society. It is now a secular society. Even this little washed up town in some obscure area of Ireland, and this guy is actually made fun of the whole time, but yet he just goes about his business trying to serve people who do not want to be served, and then he realizes that maybe this death threat is more serious than he anticipated, so he needs to take it a little bit more seriously, and eventually he is confronted with this guy who wants to kill him. And I don't want to give the whole plot away, but the one thing that I want you to look out for is the relationship between Brendan Gleeson and his daughter from a previous marriage, I guess. and how they speak about this underrated virtue of forgiveness. And even if this story looks like it ends badly, this daughter confronts the killer. And man, I'm giving a plot away. I'm not very good at this, actually. And he just and they just talk about the underrated virtue of forgiveness. I think it's powerful. Last movie before we end. Dead Man Walking, 1995, same year we won the World Cup, a good year, vintage, yeah. Dead Man Walking, story of, what do you call it? A nun played by Susan Sarandon and a killer played by Sean Penn. Beautifully acted, I think it won a few Oscars. And it's also about forgiveness. This nun trying to get a confession out of Sean Penn, who's on death row, and he is just this racist, sexist, arrogant, no remorse kind of guy, and he says he's innocent, he didn't kill those people, but you can just see he's a piece of rubbish, and then as the movie unfolds, you think that maybe his innocence will be proven, but the nun actually just helps him. Sister Helen is her name, to take responsibility for his actions. And then when he does, there's this beautiful line where she says his name, Matthew, I think is the character's name. Matthew, you are truly a son of God. And then he says in this very deep southern Louisiana accent, I've never been called a son of God before. I've been called a son of a you-know-what, but never a son of God. It's beautiful. So to wrap up, these are some of the movies that I can recommend. Dead Man Walking, Calvary, Man of Steel, Guardians of the Galaxy, Lord of the Rings, Les Miserables, Amazing Grace. There are many other good movies. You can even make a few suggestions, and we can talk about that. I know I didn't give you a lot about the movies, but try and look for the Christ figures in it. Try and look for redemption, look for forgiveness, look for sacrifice. And when you do that with these movies and many other movies, you're going to see the gospel and how Christ plays in so many different places where you didn't expect him. If you want to show something to the kids, do yourself a favor and get the movie The Iron Giant. Man, you have a Christ figure there as well. Death, sacrifice, resurrection. Go and watch The Iron Giant. Even if you're an adult, just watch it. I think it's a brilliant movie as well. And I hope that even when you are relaxing, that you can do that with a spiritual lens. Now, before I let you go, let me just give you a little prayer. This is a famous prayer by St. Patrick. It was St. Paddy's Day the other day. And given the fact that Christ is not just in the Bible, he's not just in a sermon, he's not just in a little devotional book, he's in movies as well, I think this is quite appropriate. This is his prayer. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ where I lie, Christ where I sit, Christ where I arise, Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me, Christ in every eye that sees me, Christ in every ear that hears me. Salvation of the Lord, salvation is of the Christ. May your salvation, Lord, be ever with us. God bless you as you enjoy this time watching movies and always looking out for where Christ is playing.